Joined now on the Sports Ticket by Beloit's own. We're very proud to have him on the program again. We've had him on a few times before. Austin Butke, who, of course, plays for the Kansas State men's basketball team, fresh off the game last night in Lawrence. Austin, how you doing, man? You feeling good and spry and ready to play a couple games today, right?
I'd be lying if I told you that, but I would like a nice nap, but obviously that's not going to happen with the school schedule and basketball. You know, I had class this morning. I'm actually on my way to weights right now, so no breaks, I guess, but, you know, just got to live through with it.
What college student doesn't want a nap?
Oh, my gosh, you're telling me. If I laid down right now, I don't know if I would get up today.
But, sounds like me back in my day.
All college kids probably say that.
So. Yeah, I think so. Well, let's start there. You and I were talking this summer when you were in the weight room, and we knew that you were going to be going to Kansas State, and we were there at the Wellness Center chatting a little bit, and we talked about you making the jump from high school to junior college there at Hutchison, and it's certainly a different animal. And then you had talked about some of the things you'd already done at Kansas State there and trying to be a walk-on with Coach Weber's team. Just tell us a little bit about the jump now from junior college to Division I basketball with K-State. How tough is it? And you mentioned the schedule. It's probably even more hectic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest transition from junior college to Division I. I've always said that, for me anyway, the jump from high school to junior college was a huge jump because, you know, junior college, especially at Hutch, you know, and the Jayhawk, all these Kansas junior colleges, I mean, every team has, you know, basically their five starters are Division I players. So, I mean, the jump from going from 3A Kansas high school basketball to junior college was enormous. I mean, playing just like, you know, I went from being the tallest guy around to my freshman year at Hutch, I was the third shortest guy on the team. I mean, so, and then, you know, the transition from junior college to Division I, really the talent jump isn't huge because, I mean, I played with, you know, guys from, you know, my freshman year, I played with Kadeem Allen and all those guys, who, you know, who are big-time players. I mean, but really the craziest thing, the hardest thing for me to transition from junior college here was just the time commitment, how much you have to put in. I mean, between the weights and the conditioning and the film and the scouting, I mean, we do so much scouting on other teams, and, you know, the practices are just so, you know, more mental, you know, than anything. It's just, you know, balancing that with school and, you know, all the time commitment, that's really been the hardest thing for me anyway.
You've also had to make adjustments back and forth in regards to the position you play. Of course, at Beloit, you'd play inside. You could pop out to the perimeter at times, of course. But junior college, they had you playing more of a guard spot. I know we talked about that when you were there. And then you go to K-State, and you would think, well, I'm probably going to play, you know, the two or the three. And then now you're playing inside.
Right. I mean, I said that on I talked on the radio show here in Manhattan last week, and I said the same thing. I'll never forget the first summer workout. Probably the first week I was here in Manhattan in June, and it was our first workout, and he said, post, go to that court, guard, stay here. And I'm just, okay, whatever. I start walking to the guard side, and Coach Weber said, Austin, what are you doing? You're down there. And down there is Stephen Hurt, DJ Johnson, Dean Wade, all these 6'9", 6'10 guys, and I'm like, what? Are you serious? Like, and, you know, that kind of caught me off guard because, you know, I just kind of assumed, you know, I played guard at Hutch, and, you know, I hadn't played post since high school. You know, I played the two guard my sophomore year at Hutch, and you know, at first I kind of thought, well, this is going to be interesting. But, you know, with our offense, we run such a, you know, our motion offense and all the sets and our, you know, it's, you know, I've Coach Weber called me into his office in the summer and just said, yeah, I know you're kind of playing a little out of position, but, you know, you're smart and you know how to use your body well, and you know what you have. You know that you're not, you know, you don't try to go down low and, you know, do all these things that you know you can't. And so if you're just smart and know how to and find ways to get other people open and you can get yourself open, I think you'll be successful, you know, playing the four. And, you know, it took me a little bit to get used to, you know, but within practice and, you know, getting within the offense, I think I've kind of figured out how to, you know, use what I have to, you know, help.
Do you think you've surprised some of your teammates at the Division I level there at K-State and maybe even surprised the coaches a little bit?
Yeah, some of the guys on the team tell me all the time how they didn't think I was going to be as good as I am, which I don't know if I should take that as a compliment.
Right.
They're always saying, you know, I didn't think you were going to be as good as you are, you know, being the walk-on, come in, you know, obviously a little undersized and everything, but You know, I guess that's a good thing. I didn't really surprise myself. Like I said, I knew what I could do. I just had to prove it, and I guess I have so far.
Austin Butke is with us from the K-State men's basketball team. Of course, played high school at Beloit High and Beloit, Kansas, and then, of course, at Hutchinson Junior Community College, and then went on to K-State as a walk-on. How did that work for you to become a walk-on? Did you have to win the spot to be a walk-on there at K-State?
Not really, actually. I mean, after all my recruiting at Hutch kind of fell through, that situation, that unfortunate situation that kind of happened, and, I knew it was a long shot because when I decided I wanted to try to walk on, it was already like May. I mean, school was basically already out for us. And I coach Eck at Hutch, my head coach at Hutchinson. He has really good connections with basically every coach in the nation. And I knew he knew K-State coaches fairly well. And so, I kind of just brought it up to him, not really expecting it to work out because it was so late. I mean, they're probably not looking for another kid this late. Coach Eck called them and said, hey, I have, a couple kids here at Hutch that are interested in trying to join the team. And, they said, they can come down because, last spring they were short on guys, because they were rebuilding and everything. So they said, okay, well, we need some guys, to play open gym. So if they want to drive down, they can. So we drove down a couple times just to play open gym. I mean, people always ask me, like, did you try out? Like, all we did was really go down and just play, and most of the time the coaches weren't even watching us. So after a couple times of playing, Coach Weber called us in his office and said, you guys, obviously, you guys, if you're good enough, you want the spots, they're yours. And so we're just fortunate enough to get them.
Tell us what it's like to play for Coach Weber. I know Coach Weber has been under a lot of scrutiny from, mainly K-State fans. For last year, it was a tough year, and I know you weren't there and weren't a part of that. But you talked about kind of reloading or rebuilding is basically the right term for K-State this year, getting rid of some folks from last season and then bringing in some other kids and some young people, including yourself. What's it like to play for Coach Weber? What's he like to play for?
He's a great coach. I mean, he really knows the stuff. All of our coaches, really. I mean, like I said, I can't speak for last year because I, wasn't here. But, all the guys this year and, just the attitude, I just feel, I mean, compared to what I, from what I've heard from last year, the attitude and everything is just so much better. Everyone cares. Everyone wants to win. I mean, everyone tries. I mean, we go out there every night. Anyone who watches the games can know that we're just out there, playing as hard as we can. And, our coaching staff, it's, the work that they put in and, getting us prepared. I always say, I'm not going to guarantee we're going to win games. I can't come out here and say, yes, we're going to win these games, but I can guarantee we're going to be prepared and we're going to come out and play hard. Those are the only two things we can control. And, getting us prepared, that's on us, and it's also with the coaches, and they do a great job. We watch a lot of film, and, they know their stuff, and we do a lot of walkthrough, a lot of scout team, and, when we get out there in the games, we're prepared. The coaches have us prepared, and then it's just on us to play hard. Those are the two things we can control, and, so far this year, every game, I think we've done that.
Now, you've started – how many games have you started? I know you started the one against Texas Tech. Have you started other games besides that one?
No, I actually haven't. I haven't started any games. I saw a report on that I had started a game.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay, well,
shame on me for believing what I read, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I read it too, and I had to think, like, I didn't start, did I? But no, I've been the first guy off the bench, several times, but I have not started yet.
Oh, okay. Well, then there goes my next question. Okay, so I'll skip that one. So, Allen Fieldhouse last night. Now, we know, I mean, I've been there as a fan watching. It's just, it's a unique place. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm envious of you. I'm just going to say it right now. I'm envious of you because you got to play in that building last night, and not mop-up minutes. I mean, you got to play significant minutes in this game, especially in the first half, and you knocked down that three-pointer. It got you guys out to a 9-point lead, and you guys were playing really good at the time. What was it like to play there at Allen Fieldhouse? Did it feel any different? Did you prepare a little bit differently? I mean, you're thinking, my goodness, I am going to play. I'm a kid from Beloit, Kansas. I'm going to be playing against KU at Allen Fieldhouse primetime on ESPN. Did any of that go through your mind, and how did you approach it?
It was cool. I had never been in Allen Fieldhouse before. I mean, for a game or anything. That was my first time in there. And so, we had walkthrough yesterday and kind of walked in and saw the place, and that was my first time being in there. And I kind of walked in, and it's like, I just looked around and said, I just don't, how does this place get this loud? I mean, like, it just, I mean, it, of course, during walkthrough, it was empty, and, you know, it didn't, you know, it didn't look, every gym looks, you know, small when it's empty, and then when you walk out there for warm-ups, it's like, holy crap, ridiculous. I mean, an hour and a half before the game, and the student section's already full, but, you know, I tried to approach it just like every other game. I mean, of course, you know, it's a big game for us, it's a big game for them, so, you know, you try to be, you know, stay the same focus level and everything, but I think everyone on our team was a little more focused, probably a little more ready than, you know, another game. But it was, I mean, it was, you know, the crowd at the beginning of the game, I mean, during tip-off, you know, we knew we weren't going to be able to hear anything. I mean, you know, I was kind of surprised. I was expecting us to have hand signals for every single play we had. You know, I was, okay, we're gonna do all these weird hand signals, and we actually didn't do any of that. I mean, because by the time you're on offense, everyone has to turn their head and look at coach to see a hand signal. Most of us forget the hand signals. So, you know, it kind of took us out of a rhythm because, we were expecting not to be able to run any plays. And so, you know, we kind of had, you know, a game plan where we had a set offense we would run each, you know, every time down the court. And, you know, luckily for us in the first half, I mean, first 15 minutes, we played extremely well, and we kind of took the crowd out of it. And, you know, we were able to call out some plays, you know, because the crowd wasn't, you know, going crazy. But then, you know, the last 5 minutes of the first half when, you know, they went on that run and, you know, they had a good stretch there in the second half where it kind of got crazy. But, I mean, you got to give KU credit. They've created a culture there at KU, you know, and, you know, they pack that house every night. And, you know, my first time being in there, it was pretty crazy. I was asking the guys around, like, is it like that every time? Like, and they're like, yeah, that's what it's like every time. That's pretty cool. But yeah, it was a fun experience.
You played 13 minutes last night, in case people missed it. You were perfect from the floor. You had a three-pointer, had a rebound, had a nice assist. I was watching the game, and it was funny because, you know, my son Noah, he's a fan of yours, and we were sitting there on the couch watching downstairs, and he turns to me when you came into the game, and he says, because, you know, I've told you before, you know, that KU is the team that we've followed for since I was yay young. It's hard to just change that very quickly. But when you came into the game, my son goes, I have to admit, Dad, I'm pulling for K-State a little bit because of Austin. And I turned to him, I said, that's perfectly okay. I said, I'm cheering for Austin, too. I want Austin to do really well. And if Austin scores 40 and KU wins, then I'm happy with all of it. But you probably heard that from a lot of people because, I mean, you got friends that are KU fans, and I've heard other people tell you, hey, we're cheering for you, man, even though you are wearing the purple and white.
Right, yeah. I had a lot of texts that morning and, you know, phone calls, people saying, you know what, I'm cheering for KU and Austin Butchie tonight, and they said the same thing you said, you know, I hope you have 40 points and KU wins and all this stuff, you know. Obviously, you know, as much as I would like that to happen, I wasn't expecting that to happen. But, you know, it was, you know, I had a lot of support there. You know, my family was there. And like you said, a lot of, you know, the KU, all my friends that are KU fans, you know, were very generous about saying good job. You know, I was cheering for you. You know, no fake attitude saying, oh, you know, talking bad about me. I mean, you know, all my friends that are KU fans, you know, took it well. He said, you know, I hope you do well, Austin. You know, and it's fine if they want KU to win. Obviously, I'm not going to hold a grudge against them if they're cheering against my team. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a little biased, but, you know, it's fine.
Sam Pauls, of course, you know Sam because you played with him, and Sam's always a character. He had something, I think it was on Twitter or Facebook, he posted and said, Austin Butchie just scored, and we cheered for him, and everybody gave us this weird look. Because obviously they might not know the connection between you guys.
Right.
I thought that was pretty funny. Now, is it true? I know your mom was a little upset at times last night, and she had a seat right behind the bench, pretty much, didn't she?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So I know she gets a little bit fired up for some of the games, as most parents do. What do you think? There was that a well officiated game last night, Austin?
I'm not going to call.
That's smart.
I'll leave that for the people, the message boards online and social media. I mean, obviously, there's some questionable calls, but there's questionable calls every game. I mean, that's college basketball for you. I mean, we knew coming in. You know, our coaches said it. Everyone said it. We're not going to get calls. I mean, so don't. I mean, there's going to be times where you're going to get hit, and they're not going to call it, and you're going to barely touch them. That's college basketball. That's like that every game. I mean. Yeah, there were some that, you know, I thought one in particular that kind of, you know, switched the momentum. Obviously, you know, that at the very end of the, you know, 5 minutes left when Brian Roller took a charge. And, you know, if I had to pick one player in college basketball to go out there and demonstrate a perfect charge, I would pick Brian Roller. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they caught a block and got an and one. And, you know, if that's, you know, if they call a charge on that, then that's, you know, momentum our way. But, I mean, the charge block call is so iffy nowadays, you know, it can't. But, you know, that's just one instance. But, you know, the officiating, it's, you know, it's basketball. It's, you know, there's questionable calls every game. I've seen a lot of things about, you know, fixing the game and stuff. You know, I hope that's not the case. I would assume it's not, but, I mean, it's bad. That's basketball for you.
The three-pointer you shot, did it feel good when you let it go? Because on TV, I was watching, I was like, oh, God, that looks short. I hope it's not an air ball. And then it went in.
Honestly, I don't even remember it. When I got in the game, I had not been in the game that long, and so I had so much adrenaline when I checked in. Like, I mean, I'm just ready to go. I'm not nervous at all. I don't really get nervous anymore, but I just get so excited and just adrenaline and just like my, you know, I'm just twitching. And I knew my coach has been telling me, you know, all this stuff lately about sooner or later we're going to get a team that just doesn't guard me. If I run to the 3-point line, they're just going to stay in. And, you know, I was like, you know, finally, on that play, I think we had a, you know, ball screen rolling in place, and I just ran up, and I think Landon Lucas was guarding me, and he just stayed in the lane. And I thought, you know, there's 6 seconds on the shot clock here. If I catch this and he doesn't come up, I'm going to have to shoot it. And I caught it and turned around and saw that he was standing in the lane, and I just, all my adrenaline just spiked, and I just like blacked out for a second when I shot it. And all my teammates, like on the replay, were like when I was just jogging back, after I made it, I was jogging back, they were like, dude, how did you bottle up your emotions? Like, how did you not just go crazy? Like, you must have just been going nuts inside. And, like, honestly, for that entire next defensive possession, I didn't even know what happened. Like, I didn't know I had just made a shot. It was, like, all my adrenaline was just going nuts, and I was just, like, speechless. Like, I didn't even know what to do. Then after, you know, a couple possessions when it set in, it's like, holy cow, I just made a three. I mean, I haven't made a three in 12 games. So, but it was cool. It was pretty cool.
Made a three at Allen Fieldhouse, and it sounds like it was like an out-of-body experience is what you're kind of telling me. Okay, a couple more before we let you go. I know you got to go lift weights. Dean Wade, last name's awesome, by the way. Tell Dean I love his last name. Dean Wade and you, when we first – and I've had many people tell me this. I'm sure you've heard it too, that when I tune into a K-State game, I immediately look to see if you're on the floor. And there have been many times, and my son said this last night, there's many times where at first when I look, I'm like, oh, Austin's on the – oh, no, that's Dean Wade. You guys look similar from the half-court camera when you immediately start to watch a game. Have you ever heard that from other people where, oh, I thought you were in there, or you got confused? Oh, nice job. I saw you scored a bucket. And like, no, that was Dean Wade.
All the time. It's all the time, and it's ridiculous because – we obviously can't see the connection because he's, you know, a good 2 or 3 inches taller than I am.
Sure.
But I can see how, watching like film and stuff, I can see how it, you know, it gets mixed up because he kind of grew the beard out like I did. You know, in the summer he didn't really have a beard, and so it wasn't as, you know, hard to tell. And then I kind of cut my hair shorter like his, and you know, after that it kind of just went crazy. I remember when we went on the road to Georgia at the beginning of the year and Dean hit the game-winning baseline jumper, we had practice the next day, and I think there was a football game the next day because that was a Friday night game, and we were walking to the facility for practice, and we were walking, I don't know who it was me and someone, and we were walking through the tailgates at the football game, and I probably had 2 or 3 people say, hey, nice shot last night, way to win it, and that was Dean. I mean, you know, people always come up to me, "Oh, Dean," you know. But sometimes I correct them, and sometimes, you know, I'll take the fame. I'll be Dean for a couple minutes. I don't care.
There's worse people to be. That's okay. That's all right. Okay, final question for you before we let you go. And before I let you go, I just want to say that we're proud of you, and it was awesome last night because actually the announcers did their homework. They knew where Beloit, Kansas was located, north central Kansas. They talked about Gene Katie connection. They talked about your story. It was really neat and really cool, and you have a lot to be proud of, and I know you've made your family and friends very proud as well, and a lot of excitement here in north central Kansas. I know you've worked very hard to get to where you are too. Final question, my man. Off the wall, what offends you the most? Other than Brandon Green's dunk at the end, which was Bush League, what offends you the most? What's something that gets under your skin?
That's funny because I was actually just talking about this the other day. You know, I try to – you know, ever since I got here, you've learned that, you know, just stay off social media and, you know, stay off the blogs and stuff, because 95% of the things people say out there are just, you know, talking bad about you, and, you know, you just got to tell yourself they don't know anything, you know. But, you know, one of the things that I really don't know why, but I just can't stand when people, you know, type online on their message boards about how unathletic I am, when they just say, oh, you know, Austin is just so unathletic. And, I mean, you could call me slow, you could call me dumb, you could call me all sorts of names, and I do not care. You know, I would just laugh it off. But for some reason, when people just assume that I'm unathletic, I don't know why, but it makes me mad, because I actually had the second highest vertical on the team in the summer when we did our weights, and it's just, you know, obviously I don't play athletic. I don't go out there and dunk, so maybe just if you just watch the games, you would assume that I'm unathletic. But I don't, you know, I mean, high jump in track, you know, that's kind of one of the things I kind of take pride on, is, you know, athleticism. And, you know, when people just, you know, say, oh, you're just so unathletic, oh, I don't know why, that just, it grinds my gears, but I don't know.
you send those people to me and I'll take care of that, because all right. first of all, anybody that's playing Division I basketball or playing any level of basketball at the college level, there's no way you can get there by being unathletic. There
right.
is no possible way.
Right. That's, like I said, I just, you know, a lot of the fans, like I said, you call me all sorts of names, and I most of the time I just blow it off. But, you know, when you get here and, you know, everyone's watching, and, you know, you're kind of a household name around the Manhattan area, and people just want to say things. People go out of their way to, you know, say stuff. You just kind of push it aside and, you know, whatever. But
have you signed lots of autographs?
I have, yes. That's, my signature has gotten very sloppy, very short.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yep. Because if you have a long signature, your hand will start cramping. So it's I've designated just the A. I just write a large A and number 35.
There you go. And you've never signed anything like signed at Dean Wade to confuse anybody. You've just gone with Austin Buckey.
No.
Okay, that's good to know. Hey, man, congratulations on all your success. I know we're going to try to get down there and see one of your games there in Manhattan at home, and it was cool to watch you last night. Get as much rest as you can, and keep up the great work, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Wade. Appreciate it.
Austin Buttke, our guest today on the Sports Tickets.